airs on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. And welcome to welcome to Journeys with JP. It's always a bit early for me. I wait until 2 minutes past normally. Anyway, so I hope you haven't been waiting too long on the call there. And I'm just going to start my own recorder here so that I can hear what's going on. Stop that. Click that. There we go. So welcome to Journeys with JP once again. Monday afternoons, Monday evenings, depending on where you are on the planet. We'll be speaking tonight with a dear friend of mine, and I call her my Orgonite mentor. This is Donna Spratt, otherwise known as Cosmic Mind. So first of all, I'd like to welcome you to Journeys once again. How are you, Donna?
Doing wonderful.
Excellent.
Hello, everyone.
So, now I've known you for a few years now, so, I kind of know where you're at, but, we met on, again, it was one of these, Rebecca Jernigan's chat room, group who we all kind of enjoyed, each other's company online for a while, even after the shows and between the shows. And it was so we got a good little energy going, and then you started talking to us about Orgonite, and I'd heard a bit, and I thought, oh, that's rather cool stuff. And you basically took me through the initial processes of how to build Orgonite devices. So first of all, can we go back, and I know you don't like talking about yourself too much, but
hello.
Are you there? Oh, have I lost you? Donna, have I lost you? You've muted. Oh, no, I've muted. Have I lost the call? Right, I hope I haven't lost the call from, no, it looks like I'm still on the air, so that's fine. So let me just call Donna back, and we'll see what happens.
Gotcha.
There, you're back.
Tag, you're it.
That's right. So what I wanted to do was, like, how did you get into Orgonite? And where were you at when you first discovered the stuff? Were you kind of already a kind of new agey and into crystals and all that stuff, or were you kind of really regular? And it sort of blew you out of normality.
I was pretty regular. I owned a landscaping company for about 15 years, and I and I was noticing the degradation of our natural environment. And at the same time, I was waking up and studying neuroscience and physics. To help the environment. And I became aware of chemtrails, and that's how I became aware of Oregon, is that I wanted to augment the effects of the chemtrails in some way. That was my introduction to it. And from then on, you know, anybody who creates Oregon or becomes involved with the process, it's like tapping into subtle energy. You tap into it and you gain knowledge as you move up within that Oregon energy stream. I don't know how to explain it very well, obviously, but it's like when you first start to become involved in creating the Oregon, you want to learn about how it works, and it's a good teaching for physics, quantum physics, great teaching for a lot of different things all in one little technology. So, anyhow, that's so, where it all started.
So basically, you saw chemtrails and you thought, there must be a solution to this. And so that brought you into the world of Oregon. Now, let's put some background here. Oregon is the word that Wilhelm Reich assigned to this energy, but it's the same energy as chi.
I lost you.
Have you seen? Yeah, I'm still here. Hopefully we'll see. Right. Oh, plants. Oh, okay. I think they're a little ahead of that. But we see chemtrails, and we see what do we do about that? Oh, right. Yeah. Ki, chi, life energy, Oregon, many other words for it. The force, gravity, all these things, subtle energies. It's very much, I mean, basically it's life, and life is consciousness. So it has its own mind. It has its own consciousness. But it's not a thing. Oregon is not a thing. It's not dead. It's so much alive that it's actually, once you get into it, like you're saying, you start getting information, you start learning, and you start to piece things together because of the crystal, oh yes, be quiet, the crystal structure of the organite, helps to organize yourself. You then start to become more organized in yourself, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it's like, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm back.
Yeah, you disappeared for a second. So yeah, we were talking about Oregon and its informational transfer energy. Donna, you keep disappearing.
I do. I'm here now.
Yeah. I don't know. Are you sitting in front of the Wi-Fi or something?
I think what I'm going to do is disconnect the other computers I've got on.
Donna is sitting in front of a bank, much like Mission Control in Houston, Texas. Actually, I am. I've got four screens in front of me. Three of them are working. Three computers, two and four screens. So let's hope that that'll keep your bandwidth going. So when you, what we're going to do is when you start working with Orgonite, the stuff that this material emits is alive. It's life energy. It's being transformed through the crystals, and it's squirting out. They're like little fountains, and it's not just energy. It's not just like, you know, power that you get from your battery. It's consciousness. It's life energy. It's chi. It's the stuff that these guys, these kung fu guys, can flick people across the room with. It's the force.
Yes, it's what I like to call it is a subtle energy technology. You know, we're becoming more and more aware of the subtle energies that are surrounding us and affect our lives. And Orgon, you know, it mitigates unseen energies, you know, the EMFs that are coming off the Wi-Fi, off the cell phone towers, refrigerators, whatever. You know, it's unseen. And that opens up a new avenue for people to, like, jump into. And what I was explaining earlier is, you know, like we have the light scale, infrared, visible light, ultraviolet, X-ray, gamma, cosmic, you know, that's a scale, but in infrared, there are multiple layers of information streams. And,
well, that's right. There are several octaves in what we call infrared.
That's right.
And what we call visible light is one octave out of several, you know. It's like 12 keys in the middle of the piano, and the rest of the piano is invisible to us. We can't see it. It's beyond, it's ultra, and it's infra for what we're able to visible. And so we find ourselves peering out of a pinprick, out of a pinhole in a great vast screen. Do you want to talk about some of the other, some of those other octaves? For instance, when you go below the frequency of light, the reds, the infrareds.
Well, we have, I mean, each octave on the light scale is, you know, also relates to the chakra system. You know, like the lowest, most slowest is the Hertzian, and that's the first chakra. And then you move up the scale to where, you know, the second is infrared, visible light, third, ultraviolet, fourth.
So when we see the teachings and like everybody goes, oh, look, there's the base center and it's red, there's the sacral center and it's orange, that's actually not correct information, because what we're actually talking about is we're talking red, and then it may be red, but it's red in terms of a greater octave. It's like an octave of octaves, so it's the red octave of the spectrum, but it's not just red. So and it's a bit like the actual cycle of fifths when you're creating a musical scale. It's the same thing, really. Everything's collapsed into one octave, but it's actually, it occurs all the way up the scale.
Yeah, it's like if you want. Emit a certain frequency, you could add color, you could infuse it with, different sounds that are vibrating at at the frequency you would like. You can add different minerals that are vibrating at that frequency. It's a big. Hello.
You dropped out again. It's a big.
It's a big alchemical process.
Ah, yeah.
You know, when you're putting these devices together, because you can add whatever you want to create the specific frequency that you or the person who you're making it for needs in their environment.
Yeah, so this is something that can be applied during the building process, because you can actually build it for somebody. You know, you can make a piece specifically for somebody, as opposed to like a mass-produced item. They're kind of almost, it's more than customized, because you can ask the person who's building it to create more.
I like to create devices when I'm just making them and I don't have any customized orders. I focus on balancing heart and mind. So the stones, the colors, the invocations or affirmations that I use will, and the ceremony involved will be about balancing heart and mind.
So this is one of the things that we spoke about before we went on the show, that one of the things that we were going to be talking about is the kind of things that you can do when making your organite. So let's go back. I know we've gone over this many times in many shows, but it's always, you know, we're always going to get new listeners, and they're always going to say, well, what's this organite stuff and where can I get some? And we say, well, of course you have to make it yourself, or you can in fact buy it from someone who's experienced, like Donna, and she has websites and do you want to give a quick blast? What's your websites?
Conscious Creations. Conscious and then Creations is with a K.com. And that is a group of people who are making conscious art. And we've got it on there. And on the homepage, if they want to see the Oregon, they can just click on the Alchemist Chamber.
Excellent. So
that will take them right to the page.
So that's this is pre-made stuff, but we're also going to. I mean, organite it's quite heavy. it costs quite a lot to post it, but you can actually make it yourself. And in some ways, it's better to make it yourself rather than get somebody else to make it for you, isn't it? Because the process is enlightening.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is.
Talk about, you know, your experiences with, like, how you get realizations when you're making this stuff.
Well, when I first started making it, I was a little bit of afraid because I knew. On a certain level within myself that it involves subtle energies, and I was a little bit of afraid to create something without understanding it fully. So I researched it for quite some time, and I ordered some pieces that other people made and did experiments with the devices to see if it actually did what people said that it was doing. You know, and then when I first started making it, the minerals, the frequency of the minerals, had the information about the minerals. I knew what the coils did, the copper coils that directed the energy. I knew everything, what everything did, but I was just kind of putting it all together. And as time passed, you know, over, you know, I've been creating these for about 7 years now. As time passed, you know, I began to understand it better, because more information, once you begin to interact with that information stream of the Orgone, then you get more information as you understand it more. Just like with anything, you know, if you start learning to cook, you know, it's an alchemical process. You know, once you understand flavors and cook times and all of that other stuff that goes into it, your dishes become better.
That's right.
So each person has their own spiritual codes within themselves. And if they create art for themselves, for their home, for their environment, you know, it will be specifically made with their frequency. So yes, I wholeheartedly, you know, suggest everyone make Orgon.
So let's talk about it. But it what?
I'm here.
Yeah, we've got a bit of a delay when you speak. So if I say something and then, see, normally it's, you know, I'll wait and then you'll say something and then I'll say something at the same time, and then it gets confusing. So I'll try and wait and hang back for you to speak. So let's talk about briefly what the process involves. Now, like you were saying, you know, as you do it, the easier it gets. And one of the things is you get used to handling the goops. Because, you know, when you, for instance, if you're doing cookery, you know how viscous olive oil is, and you know that it's ready to cook when you tip the pan and it moves across in a certain speed, and you get used to what that is. But you can't describe that in a book. You just know it, you know, because it's experience. You know, this is how it feels when it's hot, and this is how it feels when you've just turned the heater up far too much, and it's now almost like an alcohol. It's just about to explode. But so you get a feel for the materials, and the materials that we're using here it's what people use to make those paperweights, those funky little paperweights with the flower embedded or the bees embedded, or, you know, all that sort of the big kind of, it looks like it's glass. It's almost as heavy as glass, and it's sharp like glass, but it's got a slight plasticky, or like an amber, which is in fact exactly the same material. So you can, it's like amber, you can dig your fingernail into it just about. But you don't want to do that because you'll mess it up. But, once it's cured, after a couple of years, it's hard like glass. It's very, very hard and quite strong. And it's essentially the material that they use to make fiberglass, carbon fiber, what else do they use? Everything, you know, but basically, you know, it's the resin of fiberglass. And, what the magic of this is that when it cures and it sets, it shrinks a little bit. And what that does is, if you've got a crystal inside that, you then applying constant pressure to that crystal, because it's shrunk all around and it's squeezing that crystal just a tiny bit, but enough to make it oscillate in the piezoelectric mode. So that's one of the main materials is that's the thing that holds it together. But you don't have to do it with that. I mean, there are temporary or, you know, kind of redneck versions of Orgonite where you can actually use sugar. You can make a very heavy set sugar solution that will crystallize and stick your crystals into sugar, and sugar will do the same thing, but obviously it's not weatherproof. You know, there are, wax as well will make, this kind of material. Anything that shrinks when it sets will do this. So, we've got that, and then, there's, the other major ingredient is, metal flakes or, bits of metal, and, they form the capacitor, they form the organ accumulator. Reich made one from sheets of metal and sheets of organic material like cotton or cotton wool. And you have layers of that, and I don't know how many layers Reich used, but basically you can do the same thing with metal flakes. And essentially what it is that the metal will gather charge on its surface. So if you have about a very finely divided surface, like a very, you know, very, like a nano powder or something like that, you've got a very large amount of surface area that is then converted, and then that surface area draws in charge to it, and thus it draws energy into it. So that's the, that's one half of its function, and the other half of what organite was created it in the, when was it, Donna, who when they made like this kind of hybrid organite generator?
In the 1940s.
In the 40s, where they used the resins and everything like that to make organite.
Yes, they used alternating inorganic and organic materials. And Reich was, you know, he was curing people of disease, cancers, all sorts of disease that, and basically what got him shut down.
Well, yeah.
Jail and I.
Yeah, because he was doing things that the medical, well, let's call it the pharmaceutical class, were trying to monopolize the market of, basically, until people can realize, you know, if everybody realized that you can cure yourself, I'll speak slower. If everybody realized they could cure themselves for free, then doctors would be out of a job. So anybody who says you can make this device for very little or free, then doctors are not going to like it. And well, certainly the first pharmaceutical companies who are in the shadows, let's say, are much more likely to want to hurt somebody like that. So he created this device, which was like a little room, little box, your patient would sit in it, and it would basically, each of the layers would gather electrons on the surface. And organ as well. I mean, electrons and organ are similar in their nature, but they're on a, like a different octave. Everything comes together. And each layer drew in, probably because it was smaller, drew in energy from the outside, so it would create a flow of particles, energy particles that would then flow into the box, which was all right as long as it was on a good place. But there were some places that found that he could, put the box on the place and it would kill things, wouldn't it?
Yes, it was called dead organ. You know,
door.
Yes, door. And that was one of the hurdles that I needed to jump over before I began creating it, because I didn't want to create a device that would create dead organ.
That's right.
So, yeah, I mean, the first thing, you know, you begin to do when you're learning how to create any kind of art or put anything out into the world is how to do it consciously. You know, you get into a frame of mind, or you do ceremony. You know, you clear the space of any unseen energies. It's, I like to create, for the past, you know, 6 or 7 months, I've actually been in one place. So I've been able to, you know, put a little place down on the earth, you know, that says, okay, this space here is going to be the space for creation. And I was able to open up a little energy vortex there. So, you know, as people start making this themselves, you know, that's part of the evolution of the Orgone is becoming more and more conscious about what you're doing. And we're certainly in the energy now to where that is very, very important in all aspects of our lives. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is the thing about crystal. I mean, everybody, you know, you say crystal and everybody thinks clear. You know, it's the first thing you think about a crystal is crystal clear. And we have been fuzzied up on lots of levels, by the powers that be and the, you know, the tall whites and whoever has been messing about with us. We're still running around in shock, and it really helps us to become clear because we've been knocked to one side and we're only operating on one side at a time, whereas this stuff helps us to balance the left and right hemispheres and all of that stuff because it tunes into all of us. It doesn't care whether we think we're tuned in left or right. It'll tune into all of us because that's the way it does it. It is a unified consciousness.
I'm here.
Good.
I went away, and I'm barely hearing your side of the conversation.
Right.
I
yeah.
Apologize, but
that's okay. Maybe I'll just let me drop you and bring you back. Just pick up the call in a second, Donna. See how it goes. These Skype connections can be quite ropey at times. Okay. Hello. We'll see. Because you were great when we were talking before the show, when we connected. And now things have gone a bit awry. And it always happens at, you know, the beginning of this, usually the first half hour, and then things settle down because it's kind of, it gets resigned to the fact that I'm going to be on air.
Well, one thing, that I've been wanting to throw into the mix here is about the subtle energies.
Please.
And that is, you know, when we have our fields clear and our environment clear of unseen energies that are not filled with life-affirming positive energies, it's amazing at what you can achieve, what you can heal within yourself, you know, what happens. You know, one of the, there's a list of things that, you know, people have proven that Orgone does. And that list can be attributed to having a clear, clean energy field to work in and to live in. So, you know, that's a major point about these Orgone energy. You know, my other dimensional contacts have confirmed that Orgone is one of the only technologies on this planet that can clear and protect a human being from unseen negative influences. Not negative, they hate that word. Unseen influences. And that it will cleanse and clear the air of pollution. EMF, unseen pollutions. So this is, you know, one of the reasons why I have such a passion about Orgone is because I want more and more people to know about this technology, to investigate it, to create their own, to experiment with it, to prove it to themselves so they can move forward with whatever they can tap into after.
So I'm given to think about like an electrostatic dust remover that basically causes everything to become charged and then attracted to the floor, and there goes the dust. Yeah, that Orgon has Orgonite has the ability to. I mean, basically, it charges all the particles that are floating free. And they then become attracted to something because they become charged, and then they remove themselves from the air. Same, you know, or clear water in the same way. Have you tried using Orgonite running water through pipes surrounded by Orgonite? Has anyone done any experiments with that? Because I'm thinking about, I need something that will make my water taste better. At the moment it's, I look in my kettle and there's no residue after a year. Nothing. It's completely clean and white. But it still doesn't taste just nice. And I'm wondering if I should, start treating it with some kind of, energetic thing. What do you think?
Well, you can, turn over a pet food bowl, a little plastic pet food bowl to make a round one, to make a toroid. And use that as a mold to create a toroid, and then you can just lay it over the faucet, the kitchen faucet. And so when the water is coming through the pipes, I mean, you know, water technology, we have a long way to go before we can implement this new understanding that we have. You know, water does not like to be, banged around on right angles. It disrupts the the size of the molecules, and disrupting the size of the molecules, you know, it doesn't have a good effect on the cells because it can't. It's not the right size any longer.
Yeah, globule cluster. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had Clayton Nolte talking about that on the show a few weeks ago. Exactly that.
Oh yeah. So. Yeah, just make you a little toroid and put it over the faucet. I have, and I've actually, when I was at a sustainable community, when they were hooking up some new things, I made some toroids and we put them on the electrical outlets before they were going into the house, and also on the water intake. Coming in. You know, I would suggest anybody who is going to be building a house just to, instead of doing the right angles for the waters, to just somehow spiral the pipe. Make a spiral so the water is not banging up against a right angle.
So basically make the curves a little gentler.
Yes.
What Clayton was also saying is that water, if it travels if it's made to travel 100 feet in a straight line, it kills it.
Mm-hmm.
So straight lines kill water. So straight lines and right angles are certainly not good for it. And it likes to be curled back up again. And that's what the structured water device is. And it sounds like the Orgonite creates that rotating field that allows the water molecules to then catch that rotation reassign themselves back to the way they like to be. Did you get any of that?
Not verbally, but I think I picked up on the stream there that you were talking about torsion fields. And yes the Orgon itself creates a torsion field in its movement because it has in its ingredients an organic and an inorganic material. You know, Wilhelm Reich did not put crystals in his devices. That's why they were accumulators. He constantly had to take the devices apart to clean the subtle energies that had been attracted there, the unbalanced energies from these people. And when the crystals are put into the matrix, then you have the piezoelectric effect of the squeezing of the crystal, which keeps it continuously activated, and that keeps the torsion field spinning. So when any kind of unbalanced energy enters the realm of the Orgone device, it then, that's how it transmutes it back into positive life force energy.
So it's a way of, I would say it as a way of kind of cycling energy that first of all it's drawn in and then it's pumped out. That the accumulator, obviously, draws in energy from surrounding, which is like whatever's going on. If it's in your hand, then it's getting energy from your hand, and you can consciously put more in by just imagining so. And on the other hand, if you place the organite near a source of interference energy, like one of those light bulbs, the mercury light bulbs, or the little black transformers for mobile phones, all those things, they will have a field emitting. And if you sit one of these pieces in that field, it will then start drawing away, wicking away. It's like a kind of earth strap, and it starts drawing all that the energies away from being radiated outwards, and it's like having a great big Hoover, vacuum cleaner that sucks all of the field energies away before it gets to you.
That's right, and there is some research that I have found on the internet where, you know, there's a lot of people who have equipment that can test the Orgone devices, and they have found that if you leave a device in one place, that the field gets larger over time. So people need to think about that when they're placing their Orgone devices. If they're going to be moving them around, you know, each time you move them, it's going to have to reestablish its point on the grid again.
Yes, because probably what's going on there is that you've got the vortex and it's spinning around, and when something is spinning, then it kind of, it's almost like it gives permission or creates the ability for other things to spin around. It's like somebody playing a rhythm on a guitar or a rhythm on a drum. And then other people join in. It makes it easier to join in if somebody's doing it. So your torsion field is the spinning part of the electric field. So if you've got, for instance, a donut shaped piece of material, it'll be like a fountain going up and then a sort of negative fountain going back up from the underneath. So it ends up kind of apple-shaped, and that's what we're looking at when we're looking at the Earth. So that's the sort of field that we're talking about. It's like a kind of fountain, but it goes in three dimensions and comes back up again, like the magnetic field of the Earth, which is exactly what we're talking about, just on a larger scale. And it's all about the way that energy flows. So it's flowing around in the torus, but it's also turning and spinning. I think Nassim Haramein's got some excellent little graphics on his thing about the way energy flows with these things. It's quite.
Yeah, cool. I was just getting that.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go there.
I'm getting it now, so we can drop it into the little chat room or whatever.
Yes, and then do you know much about Rodin? The Rodin coil, the Rodin coil?
Oh yeah, I love that stuff.
Yeah, because the Rodin coil is if you could draw it out in copper wire, that's what the Rodin is. The Rodin coil is a you might have seen it on Facebook. You know, it's going around. It's like one of these free energy devices, and it's it looks like a donut, but it looks like it's been very much like, now when I was a kid, right, I used to get, this is what they taught us to do in school, went to a great school, you make two pieces of cardboard. You cut a circle out of the middle, and then you cut a slightly larger circle around the outside, so that you end up with sort of a bagel shape, just a circle. And you wrap wool around it, and you wrap, and it comes, you know, eventually builds up with more and more wool, and then you then take a string and you draw the, you put it underneath the cardboard. You know what I'm talking about? Making a pom-pom, we call it. The things that you have on a hat. Maybe I'm just talking to the air. Donna, are you there?
Oh my goodness, I had my mic on mute.
You've been muted. Yeah, pom-poms.
Rhoda. Yeah, I missed a lot of what you were saying, but you know, I can't chew gum and walk at the same time a lot of the times. I'm sitting here looking for that graphic, but but I did find it.
Oh, excellent. So I was trying
I'm gonna drop it into your Skype account.
Right. Okay.
And you're gonna have to move it.
I'll put it in the Rev Radio and War Spirit Radio chat rooms, and they'll see what we're talking about. Oh my God.
Yes, I know.
I'll see if I can find a simpler. All right, is that a GIF?
Uh-huh.
Ah, there it is. Oh, beautiful. Yeah, let's see if we can find... let's just see, will that work? I have a... yeah, that's it. Yeah, good. I paste that in the chat room, and people can see it. This is the Taurus, which we're talking about. And it's how things get... Oops, what have I done? Oh, no. I just done... Oh, no. What have I done? I've done something to my my chat room on Revolution Radio. I've completely... Did that do it? No. It's collapsed, and I can't resize it, so I can't get into it again. Oh, that's stupid. Damn. Anyway, all right, so I keep trying to do this. Oh, there we go. I've got them back. It's, you know, about a week and a half ago, I thought, is Mercury retrograde? Why am I having all these technological problems? You know, I had three mobile phones that broke on one day. You know, I ended up with nothing but a blind phone with no screen on it. You know? And then I discovered, like, yesterday, Mercury goes retrograde. And I'm thinking, what's going on? If that wasn't Mercury retrograde, then what was it? Or are we going to have like the Mercury retrograde to end all Mercury retrogrades? Are we going to lose the entire grid or something like that?
Over the next few weeks.
Yeah, but we've got till, what is it? It's till the 26th or something.
Uh huh.
Yeah. So we've got the, in the chat rooms now, people can see the link to the little graphic, which shows the flow of current through a vortex. So it becomes a wave, and you see particles that look like waves, and waves that look like particles, and it all kind of folds in on itself, as well as flowing in and out of itself. And it's just, that's the way energy flows. The Rodan coil is like a kind of representation of that in wire. So that, like we're talking about, water likes to flow in different forms. So does electricity. Electricity likes to flow in coils. It enjoys flowing around coils. It likes to go whee around the outside and fling off electrons and radiate and transmit and all that stuff. It enjoys the ride of the coil. Coils. Lost qubits. All right, so a wire of a particular length responds to a particular frequency. So when you've got your lost qubit, you're working with a specific wavelength of a specific frequency, aren't you?
That's right. And that was discovered,
Uh-oh, what happened there?
Whee! I'm back!
You're back. So.
I'm back!
It's interesting. Every time you start talking about something interesting, they take you off. Anyway, or you disappear.
Well, it's, I've got to get stabilized here, I guess. I don't know what's going on, but, you know, Orgone just, when I'm creating Orgone, you know, I barely remember the process, you know, so talking about it's the same way. I start heating up when I'm making coils, whatever I'm doing, it automatically just elevates my frequency immediately. So I'm having trouble, obviously, staying connected to the internet right now.
Got any potatoes? Hold on to a potato.
Oh my goodness! I've got a bag of rubies that I'm grabbing a hold of right now, but yes, the lost qubit was discovered and then implemented by Slim Sperling, and he made a lot of little harmonizers and stuff, you know, out of wire, and he plated the wire with gold. And it harnesses a specific cosmic frequency that affects DNA, and that's one of the reasons why I like to use the lost qubit coil, because it assists in cleaning off any kind of debris on your DNA.
Oh, right. So how long is that in millimeters?
For one, well, the lost qubit is 23.491 inches.
Okay, and is that what you...
And you can half it or third it or whatever you want to do to fit it into a device.
Yeah, because half and third works as harmonics.
That's right. And then there's a royal qubit, and you'll have to forgive me, I don't have that. I think it's 20 and a little bit inches, but the royal qubit is a frequency that actually helps clean off any emotional or mental.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, right. So let me just see if I can re-clear this call. We're gonna go for a break in a few minutes, so we'll try and bring her back in. There you go. Is that your cat? Oh no, she's gone. let's bring her back in and see what's happening. Yes. So this is interesting stuff, talking about Orgonite and its uses and its effects. And essentially, it's very much like these vortex vacuum cleaners that, you know, anything that's got a vortex in it is going to attract things. It's like a whirlpool in water. And you know that, you know, if you look at a whirlpool, you can see it in your bath when you pull out the plug, it will always draw things from everywhere into it. And that's what vortexes do, vortices, to use the appropriate English word. That's what vortices do, is that they will draw everything towards them. And, the piece of Orgonite will create something like that. Donna, you're back.
I'm here.
All right, so we're talking about royal qubits. So a lost qubit is a kind of spiritual level, and a royal qubit is emotional, personal level. Is that what you're talking about?
That's right. Yes, I mean, you can just go crazy with these devices and what you can create, the energy that you would like to create. I mean, you know, it's very alchemical. I love it. I love it. Love it. Love it.
Awesome. So, yeah, so we were talking about the lengths. See, when in physics, you know, when you've got a radio, I'm currently thinking about this very item here right now because, I've got one of these little, transmitters for the radio for a, you know, you put an iPod and you plug the iPod into it and, you can tune in your car radio and, you can receive what's coming out of the iPod, on the car stereo. So you don't need to plug wires into it. So it's all caught some wireless thing, but it's essentially like a little FM radio transmitter. And I'm using those as a cordless, transmitter for these headphones, which pick up an FM radio. So that's all right. But what I'm looking at the moment is I want to boost it because I walk 5 feet away from it and I start getting fuzz in my head and, in my ears and, it's not very nice sounding. So I'd like to increase the range. So I've been looking at how to increase the range of my little transmitter. And basically it's all about you create a more resonant aerial, an antenna. And so any piece of wire that has a specific length will resonate with a specific frequency. It's universal. There's a direct relationship. In physics terms, it's a V equals F lambda. Which is like simple translation of, you know, the wavelength and the frequency have an inverse relationship to the speed of light. You know, it's very simple. We are able to, you can specifically get a size of something because we can very accurately measure the size of something and that will very accurately reflect a frequency. All right, we'll see you in the next hour. We're going to talk more about crystals and frequencies. Thank you very much. This is Journeys with JP on Revolution Radio and Wolf Spirit Radio. Oh yeah, and we're back. a very short break for my show. You know, I do with Sean's on Wednesdays, and the break lasts for hours, and it seems. And anyway, my always comes on at exactly the top of the hour. Greetings, welcome back to the Journeys with JP show tonight with Cosmic Mind Donna Spratt. We're talking crystals, organite, organics, orgon, the energy of the life force of the universe, and life force is intelligent. The universe is an intelligent being, and we are tiny, tiny, tiny fragments of the vast intelligent being. And it just keeps fragmenting and becoming more and more tiny and then all coming back together again. And we seem to be coming up back on the coming back together again side, the evolutionary arc rather than the involutionary arc. Donna, we were looking at qubits and there's, you know, we're talking like, in physics, if you have a piece of wire that is a particular length, it is an aerial for a particular frequency, an exactly specific frequency or a harmonic of that frequency. So it's very much like a guitar string has a certain length to make it vibrate at that certain tension. So how do we create a the Lost and the Royal, are there any other kinds of qubits? And what, you know, how do we find out what frequencies they are? What are the frequencies that they're working on? Or what are the qualities of the frequencies that they resonate with?
Well, the Lost Qubit and the Royal Qubit have been found in ancient technologies. Egypt, for example. So that's basically where that information came from. People can use I mean, their guides may say, you know, make the coil turn seven times so it has seven arms. You know, the other dimensional beings that I'm in contact with have a whole slew of new wire coils. How, when I'm making wands, they now want me to wrap each crystal with a in a specific way to make the energy emit further from the wand. I haven't implemented that yet because I still need more instruction. But everybody, their guides, if they tap into it, they'll be able to, you know, share with them what they need to bring to the table. You know, we all have specific things we need to be doing here.
that leads us on to, or why are people these days becoming so interested in this kind of work? What do you think is the impetus for that?
I think that people are beginning to understand that they are powerful beings, and that their intention and their conscious creation can manifest into the world as they want. And, you know, we have to move with each other and allow each other to create in these ways consciously. And people have trial and errors. So, you know, experiment. Get on with some experiments. I love it, you know, doing experiments with Orgon to see, you know, is my way, one of the ways that I experiment with my creative life force and what I can bring into this world.
So Donna, why don't you tell us, you know, walk us through a typical pouring, as we call it.
Well, it begins with, you know, setting the space. And, you know, that means setting up the work area, having all the materials that I'm going to be working with close at hand. So when I go into, you know, whatever I do when I'm making it, energetically speaking, it's all there. And I don't have to worry. I don't have to come out of that space to look for something. So, you know, I know that I'm going to do it the day before, and I say, okay, whatever I need, you know, I need to draw to myself to have it ready to pour. And then I will clear the crystals that I use normally spend their time outside with the nature spirits. Under the moon, several full moons. I mean, I've got thousands of crystals that have just been outside under solstices, in ceremonies, whatever. Now they're being used to in these devices. And, you know, if you pick up a crystal and it doesn't want to go in the device, don't put it in the device. You know, you have to honor all beings because it's going to be in that device for a while. And then I will do a sage and say an affirmation. And I can share one of the affirmations that I use if you want me to do that.
Oh, and please.
And then I just get to work. This is one of the affirmations that I use when I'm pouring. And I use this each time I pour a layer into a device. So every single layer of the device has has the, I'm invoking this affirmation into it. So, from the great I am of Christ consciousness, we ask the energy contained in these pendants or pyramids or whatever I'm making be used for the highest and best of all there is. We ask the energy contained in these pendants be used for the transmutation of non-beneficial energies from who the energy is directed. We ask the energy contained in these pendants be used to restore balance to the entire biomedical system of who the energies are directed. We are one body, one heart, one mind, one soul, with gratitude for assistance received, and so it is. So that's one affirmation that I use when I am creating. Now, if I have a somebody custom orders a device and they're having a specific issue that they want to use, you know, they want this device to assist them with, then another affirmation may come in, you know, specifically for them. So,
and you'd customize their affirmation.
Yes.
And would you be saying this out loud, or would it be just in your mind? Right. Okay. So you're declaring it out loud.
The word is the breath. So yes, saying it out loud is very important. You know, I clear myself first. I should have backed up even further. And do you mind if I read, if I tell you my little affirmation that I use to clear myself before I?
Oh, please. I mean, these are all very valuable for people, you know.
Standing barefoot on the ground with sage in hand.
Okay, we lost her again. Let's see if we can...
Somehow I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah. Okay. All right, I'm ready for you. I got my quantum entanglement ready.
Okay, I'm going to start over.
I've got two of your organites, one in each hand, so...
Yeah, that we'll have to talk about that one in each hand thing in a minute. Mm-hmm. I say, I am a sovereign being. I surrender my will to the service of the light and the evolution of Christ consciousness. All beings, entities, energies, and emotion, fear, and thought streams that are not in service to the light and Christ consciousness are commanded to leave my energy field immediately. I am free of all energies, beings, entities, thoughts, fears, and emotions that are not in my highest and best. We are one body, one mind, one heart, one being, and so it is. So everybody will have their own little thing that they do in ceremony to get themselves into a conscious state of mind. Mm-hmm. To where their energy is directed to the healing of the earth and humanity. The crystals all talk to each other. They, you know, a little crystal that's about a 1 inch big can handle up to 35 instructions at the same time. So you can invoke affirmations to these crystals and say, okay, you know, this is the job I want you to do. And that's what it will do for you.
One of our listeners is Steve in the Rev Radio. He's saying that organite could possibly be disrupting your call here. But, you know, I've just kind of, I think we seem to have a good connection now. We'll see how it goes. But I've just kind of done a quantum entanglement thing. Because basically, I have some organite that's been made by Donna, and if I, you know, I tuned both sides of myself into. So, do you want to talk about the left hand, right hand thing, the hand thing? What's your take there?
Well, what I discovered about 4 years ago, when I was making some wands, is when I held one in each hand, and it was totally by accident. You know, I just had two in, you know, each hand, one in each hand, I mean. And I noticed that I could actually feel the torsion field. You know, I could feel the spinning and the clearing happening. It was like a big rush of energy. So, you know, that's just one experiment that people can do with the Orgone, is hold one in each hand. And, you know, if they really want to do a... You know, they could just put one in each hand and feel it.
Yeah, it's interesting. You dropped off a little bit there, and I grabbed onto the wand you gave me years ago, and you came back, but now you've gone again.
I'm here.
Oh no, good. It's sometimes I hear the background noise, and sometimes it just goes away, and sometimes it's when you mute, and sometimes it's when we've lost you. Anyway, so this is I love the use of these very passive devices. I mean, they require no batteries, they don't have a display screen, you know, but they do things that once, and most of the thing is, most of the time people can't feel the fields that they, that these things are affecting, because it is subtle energy, and subtle energy is not gross. That means you don't feel it, like, unless you are seeking for it. It's not like a bright light, it's a kind of dim light that you're just trying to get to feel. It's like looking out for a tiny little star or Mercury or something like that. But once you can tune into the subtle energy, then there's a very wide range of things that are available to you, because you're then sensitive to the emissions of crystals and things like that, aren't you?
Absolutely. That is one of the things that actually assisted me in honing my empathic nature was, you know, before I began working with Orgone, I would feel things and my emotional body would get all entangled up in, and I wouldn't really understand what was happening. But when I began to work with Orgone, it kind of opened up this understanding of subtle energy, and, you know, now I'm a very, very empathic being. You know, I feel and sense energies much more than I ever have before. And I believe as people work with subtle energies, you know, even, you know, Reiki, any kind of healing modality, you become more attuned with subtle energies, and you can identify what it is that you're sensing easier.
And this, of course, is the process we call discernment. Being able to recognize subtle energies, and subtle energies you feel with inside senses, inner senses. You know, it's not sight, touch, feel, you know, the gross outer is the inner ones. And one of these senses is it's really, in a way, it's just like being able to see ultraviolet or infrared. It's nothing kind of out of the physics of it. There is physics to it, and it does work, and it's there. It's just not recognized or taught to us in our so-called education. We won't go into that. Don't get me started. Our ability to feel these things for ourselves, that's the hurdle, isn't it? Because, you know, unless somebody gives you something, you're not going to go out and seek it.
Yeah, I think God is, or whatever you want to call it, the great creator, whatever word you use, is creating more impasse on this planet and in the universe. So we can feel each other, and we can feel the environment, and it creates a more compassionate society and culture when you're more empathic to other people and other things, don't you think?
Oh, totally. I was talking with a friend earlier, you know, what would happen if everybody was telepathic? Everybody suddenly one day was telepathic. And you could know anything. You just turn your mind to it and you just know it. It would be there, presented to you. How would people be? That was a very interesting thing, because that's how we become if we go down this path.
Yes, that's right. I mean, you know, we have to clean up ourselves and our thoughts and our intentions and our actions. You know, it's going to be wonderful when we can walk by one another, and we will be, the day before we would have been wondering how we could create this one certain thing, and we'll pass somebody and they'll have that information and we can just download it to them. You know, like, hey, yeah, there it is.
Yeah, mind meld.
Yeah, thank you.
Nuggets. So, so we're making it, you're invoking your energies over the layers as you're so the first layer. Now, obviously, when you're making, something in a mold, everything is upside down. So what comes out of the top goes in first. This is a layer of crystals usually, isn't it?
Yes. Reverse engineering. Well, a lot, you don't have to put a crystal in the point if you don't want to. Some people don't, but I always do. And
I like a cherry on my macaroon too.
Uh-huh. And I always put a spiral too, because the spiral, the coil that's on the base will extend the energy field vertically, and the spiral extends the energy field vertically, and the coil horizontally. So you put a crystal in the tip of that spiral and you're set in gold. I've always put gold in the tip too, right above the spiral.
Your use of gold is incredible. All of the pieces that Donna's ever sent are just kind of, I mean, it's sparkling. It's just radiant. You can, just looking at them, it kind of catches your eye. You know. So, gold.
Gold is a, you know, it's a pure frequency. It's a purest frequency, gold.
Mm.
So you definitely want to include that in your, in your devices, so you'll have that base in the energy.
But at this point, the gold becomes your orgone generator, your orgone accumulator. Sorry, that's the metallic component. For instance, when you're dealing with the, for instance, the wand that you gave me, and I'm looking at that. So the first layer is. This is on a smaller, this is a little pocket device. And I can see like, half a dozen, different little stones at the top here, like, what's that? Is that a jasper there, a red one, and there's, you know, there's all different colors, which for me would represent different frequencies. And then there's a layer of gold leaf, and then there's a green layer to, as a base. So we've got the crystal there, and you were also talking about, putting coils into that too. Is that? I think there's coils in the big pyramid that you gave me once.
Oh yes.
Yep.
Yeah, I put coils and spirals in every single thing I make now.
Did you hear about the last thing I've heard about the pyramid is that there was gold cabling all around it that actually was like a I mean, basically, the Great Pyramid is an organite pyramid. It's just scaled up. And it had gold wiring underneath the surface, which formed these enormous coils. But obviously, that's why they broke the casing stones, so that they could get at the gold underneath and steal it.
Well, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. But now you think about it, and you think about the, you know, instead of using resin, you're using a form of concrete called Everlast. It's like a, it's like stone that become, or it's a concrete that becomes stone. You can get it by heating up limestone. It kind of breaks down into a powder, and you add water, and it'll sort of reconstitute. Magic.
Yummy.
So what we're finding, oh dear, I think my headphones have just gone. What we're finding is, damn it, how am I going to do this? I've got to find another pair of headphones quickly, there we go. So what we're finding, eventually, is that even the big pyramid, the Great Pyramid, was made of argon materials, i.e. layers of metal and crystals, and that there was also houses and other things that were made of the same material, and they would include gemstones and things like that.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's like we're spiraling back around into this energy, this understanding of a true nature of things, you know?
Mm.
So that's exciting.
Because the true nature of things is energetic and spiral and all those things that we're not taught in school. the solar system is a flat disk. You know, it's like we're on another level of flat Earth. And it's now getting more and more obvious to everybody that we're not a flat disk in the solar system, but we're a spiraling cone, like everything else that is zooming through the universe is a spiraling cone. And that's how the solar system is really arranged. And it was shown by Barbara Marciniak in the, I think it was Bringers of the Dawn. There's a map of the Pleiades that is mapped onto a spiral, and it's just like exactly what Professor Barth has been talking about. So the spiral nature of everything. So you've got the coils. You do the coil in a labyrinth. Do you have a little template to make the coils? Do you do it with pliers and by hand?
I did have a template, but it was appropriated by someone.
By the cat?
No, the cat. I'm trying to keep him muted, but he's not accepting my instruction.
Not accepting the command. Where's the mute button on this creature?
He's very loud because he's hard of hearing. But, gosh, now I've completely lost my train of thought.
We were talking about content coils in your organite.
Oh yeah. But I normally spin them with my fingers now. I just have gotten so used to the mechanics of it that I can do it with my hands. Just by pulling the wire and I hold the center with some needle nose pliers.
Excellent. So,
and then to make the spirals, you know, I just pull the center, you know, down and just pull it into a spiral when I want it to be a spiral.
All right. I used to try and wrap it around a funnel.
Yeah, well, it's
tricky.
It's also important that when you're using these, that the spin of the coils and the spirals are clockwise. That's very important because our bodies rotate, our energy bodies rotate clockwise. The energy of this earth rotates clockwise. When we reach a certain vibration, you know, when we're meditating or elevating our vibration using some kind of modality, then our outer bands, you know, that's when it flips and goes analogical and begins spinning counterclockwise. But in normal scheme of things, it's clockwise. So when you're putting the coils and spirals into the device because you're reverse engineering it, you have to put them in counterclockwise. So when you turn the device over, it will be spinning clockwise.
So it sounds like your cat is barking instructions at you.
Yes, he apparently would like to tell everyone hello. He's done it proficiently. I'm going to put it on mute and throw him out of the room.
What's Kitty's name?
Sam I Am.
Sam I Am?
Yes. His sister, her name is Sam.
Hey, Sam I Am. What's wrong? Can we get something for you?
He's just wanting me to hold him.
Yeah, well, you can. Yeah, I'm sure. Anyway, so. So tonight my guest is half hour on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Listener supported. Please click the donate buttons and find creative ways of raising capital to help pay for the servers, transmitters, and electricity bill that this station is the cost. Everybody else does it for free. All the show hosts and everything else. We all do give our services for the honor of truth, and so that's where we're at with Revolution Radio, and also at Wolf Spirit Radio, where we also deeply serve the truth, and at everbeyond.info, where the truth has always been, and at No Borders Radio, which is not listener supported. It's a privately run, but quite happy to accommodate you stationed and based out of Glasgow. So welcome back. We're in Journeys with JP, and I'm talking with Donna Spratt, otherwise known as Cosmic Mind, and we're discussing organite, lost qubits, and all that sort of stuff. So cats like don't like being ignored. Yeah, that's right. So how's your cat situation there now?
He's having a little nibble with his food right now, so he should be quiet now for all about right. A minute or two.
Oh, good. <A minute. laughs> Bless his heart. So
I just want to add, you know, a little something. You know, all of you guys always have these radio shows and run for, you know. The hosts and everything are doing this for free, you know. It's a service. And people, you know, should realize that, you know, it's an energy exchange, you know, and we need to support one another. If somebody's offering something, that is benefiting you, you know, share with that person so that the energy remains balanced, you know. It's very important in all aspects of our lives to keep energy balanced between one another and, you know, not to take, and it you know, it just creates so many problems, you know. So kudos to all of you guys, and may abundance just fall from the sky any moment now.
A helicopter drops in my garden, and I can sell it for scrap. Yeah,
that's right. I mean, you know, we can't receive if we don't give. So
that's right.
You know, we have to stay balanced in whatever we do.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, I've been doing this for 3 years. 4 years? No, as well. At least it's definitely 3 years that we certainly been doing Wolf Spirit Radio for 3 years, and it's been quite a ride, and I enjoy the whole thing. It's more than a hobby, but it's less than a career. So, Lost Qubits, we were at the coil stage. We've put some crystals in, we've got some coils, we've got the cone. Hey, how do you make the crystal at the bottom stand up so that it stays vertical when it's setting? Do you understand what I'm saying? Say you've got like quite a long crystal that goes to the point. How do you keep it standing up?
Well, you have to, you know, utilize your Egyptian engineering skills and come up with a way to stabilize the crystal until it sets. Like, I like to use just copper wire, and I bend it in a certain way so I can put it on the tip. I always use double terminated crystals in all of the devices. So, you know, I just wrap the tip of it and just gently, you know, keep it stable until it sets up. It only takes like 10 or 15 minutes to set, so just don't bump your table.
Yeah, and the other recommendation I have, if you are going to make organite, take extra care to make sure that your table, the table that you're using, is absolutely horizontal and flat, because once the stuff is set, if it's set and the tray was not quite horizontal, you end up with a lopsided piece, and you know it takes a lot. You have to really grind this stuff down in order to move it, and when you grind it down, you lose the surface, you know, so it's not good. So it's best to leave it. Best to make it perfect in the first place. That's the other. There's so much about the preparation of getting everything right first, but there is also the thing about making something straight away. So there's a kind of trade-off when you're making your first stuff. But I would recommend, as Donna and as I did, if you want to make some of this stuff, just use Google. Google will help you to find all sorts of things. There's YouTubes. You know, there was Dennis. What's Dennis's name, Donna?
Yes, and if anybody ever wants a step by step, I mean, there's plenty of those on YouTube. And if they just want to speak to someone, they can contact me or you. You know, I don't want to sign you up. They can certainly contact me. You know, I talk people through this all the time. Am I still alive?
Yeah.
Okay.
Your cat. Am I still alive? He said the same thing.
He's running around the room like a crazy person right now, so I'm going to let him out. I'm going to mute it and let him out of the room. I'll be right back.
We will now find out what Donna put in that food there. She probably put some catnip in the food, and the cat's gone absolutely ape. Anyway, cat's gone ape? Anyway, cat's gone catnip. Hmm. So I just had a piece of apple. Right. So we're waiting for Donna to come back, but we're on the subject of Orgonite and pouring Orgonite and making it. So basically,
he refused.
He refused. he wants Mummy's attention. I get the feeling he's sitting on your knee. Donna? I think the cat has disconnected Donna from the internet. Well, there she goes. Are you there? Donna, are you muted? Have you muted me? No, she's alright. Okay, we're going to try and bring her back. Drop the call and bring it back in again. See if that works.
Aloha.
Hello. Did the cat just disconnect you or something?
No, he actually refused to leave the room there for a minute, and I just ended up, you know, having to escort him out.
I hope you'll recover from the injuries very quickly. So I was talking about, you know, you have to have a very flat surface that you put your trays on so that when they set, they don't set kind of askew, you know, like they're at an angle, because it makes it very difficult to deal with. You want them nice, you know, you want to make little discs. You don't want little wedges, unless you want to wedge things. But essentially, you want an organ. The other thing is the sticking to the mold. You want a nice shiny object at the end, so you find a nice shiny mold, but you need to put something in that mold so that it'll come out again. Otherwise, it's going to, basically, you're using araldite glue, which is the same stuff, it'll stick inside it. So you need to have some kind of agent to stop the thing sticking. So I've used WD-40 in the past, but you use something better, don't you?
Yes, I do. I use this stuff. It's green, and I can't think of the name of it right now, but, you know, it's the best stuff I've ever used, and it doesn't cloud up the finish. You know, WD-40 and PAM and all of this other stuff kind of leaves a film on the finish of it. I'll have to look for the name of that stuff. It's green.
Okay, so that'll probably come back to you in a while. So that gives you a nice smooth or even shiny finish when you pop the thing out of the mold. Do you polish it any further?
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's so soft, and it softens if you put too much friction to it. You have to use, you know, diamond paper, really, underwater, you know, to keep it cool so you can get things really polished.
Uh-huh.
You know, sometimes for the bigger devices, like I've got this project in the works now, you know, that's going to require some mad skills, so I'll let you know how that goes once it happens. These devices are going to be much, much bigger.
So tell us about these new devices then. Now we're up to speed on... Hang on, have we finished? Have we completed making the Orgonite before? So the final layer... Sorry, Donna, that's... I can see it looks like in this one it's like little copper flakes, copper strands.
Yeah, copper spirals. Spirals are good. You know, because they're moving the energy. Flat things, you know, it's good because it's accumulating, but, you know, copper BBs I like to use, or nickel BBs, or whatever color BBs, because they're round. Spiraling wire is good, like shavings from some kind of process, if you can find it. But yeah, you put the crystal I mean, the gold, then the spiral, and then put the crystal in the tip, and then you layer metals. And there are different kinds of metals if you want. I normally use alloys of gold. So whatever's an alloy of gold, I have a stash of. And then you put four crystals in a cross pattern, and then lay the coil on top of that and finish it off. And you can wrap the coils in wire. I mean, wrap the crystals in wire if you want an added boost. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to increase the effectiveness of whatever you're putting in into the matrix.
So, for instance, you could have a triple coil arrangement, three coils. This is on like the same strand, like one group of coils, and then another group of coils, and another group of coils, like a dumbbell, one in the middle and two on the outer. And you could have that inside your organite as well.
Absolutely.
So your crystal would be standing up, and there's a coil around it, and then there's the cone coil that surrounds the whole thing. Interesting. Does the conical one coil go all the way down the piece to the base, or is it just near the top?
Well, oh Lord. Sorry, everyone. For the smaller devices, like I make these handheld, well, I call them healing cones, because you can fit them in the palm of your hand pretty easily and lay them on somebody's body and it won't be too heavy. I actually pull the spiral all the way down to where the crystals are going to be laid in at the base, and then put the coil on top of the crystals. So, and that seems to, you know, really be very effective, because you can put one of those kinds of devices on, like a knee ache or a back ache or really anything that's unbalanced in your body, and it just, you know, it pulls it right out.
And that's it. That's the nature of electricity, which is how we are. We are electricity. And it gets drawn out by this vortex that this thing creates.
Absolutely.
So we've got the process, you've got the... Oh, I don't believe it. Somebody's just calling me on the phone. So...
I like that ringtone.
It's a new phone. This is very distracting, sorry. Remain focused. Back to where we were. We had the metal layer. So the last layer is the organ accumulator, and the first layer that goes in is the crystal, which is what I call the organ pump. That's the thing that creates the kind of fountain torus of energy around it. So just again, what you were saying, that you have if you have a flat coil, that creates a vertical field. Is that what you're saying, or am I saying it the other way around?
Well, that's the way I said it, but it was the other way around. I reverse engineered it. The coil is flat, so it's horizontally expanding the energy, and the spiral is vertically expanding the energy.
So that's like a helix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like a cylindrical spiral.
Right.
Excuse me. No. Go away. There we go. And that should hopefully send them to my voicemail at this time of night. So we've gotten to the bottom. Now, I've noticed that on your pieces that you add in that metal part, because the metal part is not as an attractive thing. It's normally kind of clumpy or, you know, fizzly sort of grey bits of metal. That it could be that you put a dye at the bottom. So you actually create a coloured base, even though the rest of it is a crystal clear, that the base is, which is where all the metal is, which is, you know, it's not the most pleasant looking thing. Hello.
Well, I have redesigned them, you know, since my first go. You know, everybody does, you know. You know, it took me years to figure out how to make them look neater, you know, and still be as powerful. And, you know, one of the ways that I was able to do that was to make a cone and then embed the cone inside a pyramid. Make the cone like I would, you know, in every sense of the word, and then put that inside a pyramid. And for, I had a dream that led to that. I don't know. It had something to do with the geometry of it. Putting a dome inside of a pyramid, it has a grounding effect, and there's all sorts of other stuff that happens, you know, but.
So you've got this, you've got a conical, so when you say a cone, it's a rounded cone, like a comet.
That's right.
Yeah, inside the squared off pyramid, that must be an interesting, combination of energies. So you
feel they seem to be much more powerful with that kind of geometry going on. Mm. I've also put you know, smaller pyramids, you know, inside them, and that really jacks it up. I've put octahedrons and all sorts of other things. I mean, you know, the possibilities are endless.
I know, and this is the thing. You know, once you get used to doing this, once you understand how it works, you then start to invent stuff for yourself, as you've been talking about. You make your own variations. You try, what happens is if this, and it's a great exercise of the human curiosity factor. It's really good to be able to do that, and it certainly opened up things for me, because, you know, learning how to mold, you know, how to cast, is another thing, because you can make things that are useful if you can cast. It's like having a 3D printer. You know, you can make useful things that, you know, you can make handles for things, and you can make, you know, everything that is made of fiberglass resin, you can make. You know, you can make a tennis racket, and you can use carbon fiber. You know, just add the goop.
Yeah, I saw this one Oregon extraordinaire. He made a Oregon guitar.
Wow.
He did. He put coils literally all over the resin, and you know, he made a guitar out of Oregon.
Wow. I tell you, that must have been heavy. That stuff is heavy. Played once an acrylic guitar, and it was like it's thinner than a regular electric guitar, and it was still twice as heavy. And it's really heavy stuff, and it weighs heavy on your neck when you're playing it. So it might look cool, but it's not very pretty. It's not very comfortable. But yeah, so having an organite guitar might radiate some special things. Might help with certain things. You could even make little organite things that would stick onto the guitar, you know, as a sort of field generator around one.
There you go. That sounds like a good project, JP. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're coming to the end, and I'd like you to tell everybody how to. Now, you don't need donations, because you have things to sell, and this is what we were talking about before. I don't really need donations. I'd rather people came along and asked for a reading or a crystal device or a pyramid or some organite or something like that. Much rather trade. So if anybody would like to, my website is wowwowwow.everbeyond.info. Everbeyond.info. Now, that's my stuff, but Donna's got some stuff, and she's also teamed up with Rebecca Jernigan and Sherry. What is Sherry's surname?
Rogers.
Rogers. Yeah, Robin. No, Rogers. Okay, Sherry Rogers to create the Cosmic Creation. So, do you want to run down some of the three, at least three sites that you've got? Tell what people can expect from them.
Well, Conscious Creations, you know, there's this, we have a group of five women right now on there, and they all create art. And that's where you can find my main store for the Orgon, and that's the Alchemist Chamber. And then I have a Facebook page that is much more active, so I can stay in touch with people, and people will know what I'm making, and they can look at the pictures, and the crystals that I use for wands and whatnot are all there. People can pick them out and tell me what they want. That's the Alchemist Chamber on Facebook. And I don't know, they can contact me. My email is wizard@thesynchronicitygrid.com. And that's pretty much my contact information there. I mean, you know, if you want to find me on Facebook, just look for Donna Spratt. And I've actually changed it from Cosmic Mind to Cosmic Heart.
Uh-huh.
So I've had to upgrade from the mind to the heart.
To the heart, yeah. Excellent. So we're just about coming to the close of the show. And I'd like to thank you very much, Donna, for coming on and explaining more deeply than you've ever managed to do.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's been really a pleasure and an honor to be on your show.
Thank you very much, Donna, because, you know, I know you know a lot of stuff and you've got a lot to share. And I just like to be able to create a nice, safe space for you to express yourself. That's lovely. So thank you very much, Donna Spratt. We'll be back. I'll be back on Rev Radio on Wednesday at 3 PST. I'll be joining Sean. And I'll see you next week on Journeys with JP. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you, Donna Spratt. Good night, everybody.